There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Charles Pellegrino, the author of Farewell Titanic and a number of other important publications. We're concentrating on Charlie's experience diving with the Canadian director James Cameron in 2001, the summer of 2001, right prior to and the expedition ended after the attack on New York and Washington that led the U.S. into two decades of war called the Long War. Now the struggle has moved back to, irony being what it is, a struggle with Russia, which at the time of Charlie's expedition was fully cooperating in this dive, had been for some time. They were in Russian-built vehicles called Mir-1, that's the word in Russian for peace, and Mir-2, Mir-1 and Mir-2. So we're going down 12,500 feet, and the Titanic sits in pieces on the bottom. When did you first see what remains, Charlie, and where did you come down? What part of the ship did you first come down to?
Actually, September 10th, 2001, we first came down near the stern of the ship, which people tend to avoid the stern. People just instinctively don't want to go to that part of the ship. It is, of course, it was the last part out of the water. It broke away from the rest of the Titanic, and that's where most of the people who died that night were, on the stern. It hit the bottom of the sea at more than 50, probably closer to about 60 miles an hour. So if you can imagine a skyscraper being flung into a wall of rock at about 60 miles an hour, that's what would be left. And on top of that, you had the column of water that followed behind it and actually became a downblast, so that if you look, for example, I wanted to see what was in the ship's infirmary, but the decks were smashed down, pancaked down to where no robot could get in there. It was less than 9 to 12 inches between decks. It was smashed flat. The upper decks were actually pressed down in the shape of the engines that were below them in the very bottom of the ship, almost as if you took a quarter and put it on the table and took a piece of aluminum foil and rubbed on it with a pencil eraser. You could see the shape of the shape that was below it. And it was just, the stern section was just, you can describe it only as steel in twisted agony. Moment we got there, several of us felt this feeling of we just don't belong here. The part of the ship I most wanted to see, to examine for the physical effects of the impact on the bottom, the moment we got there, I felt like I wanted to be away from that spot.
However, your research included the dynamics of what happens in collapses. This
right.
is part of Charlie's interest that will then extend to Ground Zero and the 9/11 attack and what happened below the collapsing World Trade Center buildings. It will also extend to Charlie's research into the events following the blast of the atomic weapon at Hiroshima. Remember, it detonated in the sky above and forced down a blast on the city of Hiroshima and Nagasaki as well. So part of Charlie's investigation of Titanic links those events as to what a catastrophe means for physical objects. And what surprised you, Charlie, when you saw the stern? This pancaking? Did that surprise you?
Yeah, earlier estimates were that the deck stood very high, but no, I mean the middle of the stern section, of the whole stern section of the Titanic, stands maybe 15, 20 feet above the very bottom of the ocean. The propellers were actually twisted upward to where they hit the bottom of F deck. They came up into the bottom of F deck. It was just tremendous destruction. And the physics of the column collapse, the a downblast, the surge cloud around the stern. We call this volcano physics, the same thing, same physics developed, for example, in Pompeii when the ash from Vesuvius just pulled the atmosphere right down. Similar physics we see at Hiroshima, the shock cocooning effects, which are amazing. You have tremendous destruction in one spot, and yet a delicate piece of glass that survives somehow untouched. And we see this with all explosive events.
The stern, then, is quite separate from the bow sections. I believe there are ultimately three segments.
But right.
The two big ones are the stern and the bow. So after observing the stern, and how did you do it? You have very bright lights that shine into what you're looking at. It's dark down there, Charlie.
Right. The submersible, the only light you bring, aside from bioluminescent flashes out there, the only light you have is the light you bring with you. So we have these sort of like crab claw arms on the submersible that extend out, and they have flood lamps. And then, of course, there are the robots that you send out that can light up specific spots and move in and out of the Titanic and video sections of the ship that have been closed off for, over a century now. One of the surprises was once the robots got deep inside the Titanic, there was delicate wooden structure in the bow section, all perfectly, almost perfectly preserved. The wooden bedpost, there had been currents flowing through and bacteria, so they're sort of recarved into these abstract art shapes, but the wood is still there.
All right, we're going to go to the bow section, but for creatures down there, are there creatures existing on the stern of the Titanic? Are there? I know rusticles are there, but what about moving creatures? Did you see anything like that?
Rusticles, sea anemones, and these small animal filter feeders called gorgonarians. And in 2001, they were like a layer of fur all over parts of the stern section, all over the bow section. There are these fish down there, all sorts of cephalopods, mostly octopuses and their cousins. It's, in fact, at one point I said, it's planet of the cephalopods down there. First thing we saw was a large dumbbell octopus just drifting along over the surface. It's very cold down there. It's about 28 degrees Fahrenheit. So most organisms have a rather slow metabolism.
Right.
And just move along with lazy speed.
Let's
there
go.
Was one octopus, small red spindly-armed octopus that stayed by my viewport for about 20 minutes everywhere we went.
Making friends. Charles Pellegrino, author of Farewell Titanic. We're going to leave the stern and proceed to the bow, the dive taking place in the summer of 2001. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. Dip, sit in the hip like. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.